Education and Health Initiative at Hunter College. Thank you, Anahi.
Thank you, Anthony, for the presentation. Ah, it's working. It's magic. Okay, thank you, everybody, for being here so early. It was hard even for me to be here. And thank you to Gonzalo, who actually somehow set the tone for the kind of things that medical anthropologists and psychology, social psychologists, and I will say any of us interested in the influence between culture and health are doing. What I'm going to talk about today, I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to be fast and get to the point, is based on a study that we did at Hunter College 3 years ago, for which we interviewed 56 healers in New York City. And when I'm saying healers, I'm talking about a variety of folk healers from Latino immigrant, from Latino origin, who actually treat a diversity of Latinos in New York. And the issues that we were trying to address is, number one, in the literature we have very little information on what's going on with immigrants treating other immigrants, either from the biomedical model, but also from the folk healing model. We tend to think about immigrants coming to this country, trying to get into the biomedical system, and we forget about all the practices that immigrants bring on the one hand, and that also immigrants have access to on the other. The other thing is, immigrants as providers of alternative healing practices. We know in the 60s and 70s, when the community health participatory model was at its height, at that point, there were a lot of research-based studies that pay a lot of attention to alternative forms of healing, particularly at the community level. That disappeared with, you know, managed care and all this stuff. And the other thing that we know little about is how people actually, all of us, not just immigrants, combine biomedical practices with other kind of practices, from going to a tarot reader, that believe it or not, they are also considered as spiritual healers in many communities, to even, as Gonzalo was even suggesting, doing transnational kind of practices, calling a healer back home, a dentist back home, getting Skype to actually connect with other biomedical or non-biomedical practitioners in the countries of origins. Okay, no financial, I'm not a healer, and I don't support her. And the first question we had is, who is a healer? Because of the informality of the practice, we needed to define more clearly who is actually among the many Latinos who actually are engaged in the use of herbs and the use of Santeria and other African-based Caribbean religions. Who are those who actually will have the characteristics that we need in order for them to become one of our informants or, I will say, partners in research? And the main thing that we asked was to try to find those who actually use healing, either spiritual, mental, or physical, as either a main occupational activity or as a secondary activity for which they receive any kind of compensation. The biggest issue, I'm not going to spend a lot of time for you to get a sense how hard this is, because there's a lot of stigma, this is a hidden population, and it was very hard for us to actually. Yes, here. So among the obstacles, I mean, many of the healers practice without, you know, they are afraid of being held accountable for practicing medicine illegally. There is a very negative image in the media. You may have heard about women being burned with while doing Santeria practices, the use of animal sacrifices in the Caribbean-related religions. This is very, very controversial. So we got what we say in epidemiology, the risk of false positives and false negatives. In other words, we didn't know, to a certain extent, that those who claimed to be healers themselves were actually non-healers because they wanted financial compensation, or those who were actually healers would pretend not to be because they were afraid of any kind of consequence based on the practices. So at the end of it, I will learn how to use this. So we basically use botanicas. Botanicas, I don't know, you may have seen them. These are like very esoteric, kind of, you don't know, that it's a mix of folk museum, invisible pharmacies, but in any big city in the United States, you will see these wonderful places, what we call the visible door to the invisible world of Latino folk healing and religious practices. Because we couldn't actually, at the beginning, typical IRB, you know, the Institutional Review Board consensus is for you to have a flyer asking people, are you a Latino healer? We did that for a week. When we didn't get any answer, we started realizing that we had to go back to a more traditional ethnographic method. So we start hanging out at the botanicas. This is a typical botanica. It's a lot of, if I could spend an hour just telling you what each of these elements means, it's just for you to get an idea of the syncretic characteristic, the combination of Catholic, Native American, and African Caribbean sort of rituals. They are all combined there. And just to get you a sense of why these botanicas are so important for us to recruit healers, we did many GIS mappings in which we actually correlate the location of botanica vis-a-vis poverty level, ethnicity, needs for mental health treatment, and you see the red dots, that mean the concentration of botanica. We mostly did this in Manhattan, the Bronx, and some areas of Queens. So you see that they are concentrated where the Hispanics are for the most part. And this is another very important map from our point of view. You see the concentration of higher psychological distress, it correlates with the concentration of botanica. This, in many ways, it is very challenging to do this kind of research because we don't want to easily say, hey, botanicas are replacing mental health providers. We're trying to get proxies that give us an idea to what extent botanicas are an indicator of the need of the Hispanics or Latinos in New York City. And this is the visual impact. You see, this is a botanica, se leen las cartas, it means we read the tarot, we read cards. It's a proxy to say we are here to counsel you. Many of the botanicas have a healer either in the back of the botanica or in the basement. And many botanica owners are actually counselors themselves or know who can help the person in need. And if you take away all these pictures, this could be a typical doctor's office. This is where the botanica's healer work. There's not much difference between that and, you know, what any of you or me may be doing in a very everyday practice. What we learn, because now how much time I have, maybe 10 minutes, what we learn based on in-depth interviews, semi-structured interviews, when it comes to mental health, is that we needed to depart for the psychosoma model, the idea that we are mind and body and we have to treat them separately. For most of the healers' conceptualization of health and disease, the social and physical environment are an active part, not just of the healing process, of the illness process. Just two examples. You may be sick because an old soul is haunting you. And in the, as Kleinman will say, within the explanatory model of the health and disease, those old souls are those that within yourself need to heal. So it's not just to heal yourself, it's to heal others. You may be also cursed by, you know, a spiteful lover or co-worker who doesn't want you to do what good to you. And also the physical environment, the place where we work, the place where we live, needs to be clean and treated, not just the physical nor the individual body. So healing us and healing the others around us in terms of understanding what is the source of pain and suffering is an active part of healing. And that's how we use the model of sociosomatic illness, which is not new. I have to say, we come up with all these new terms. In medical anthropology, the idea of sociosomatic illness, the social, has been used before, but our contribution, and I will show you the conceptual model we use, was to bring who are the others. So we can have supernatural diseases caused by ghosts and spells. And what we understood in terms of how people internalize pain is within the framework, what Gonzalo was also saying before, the issues that immigrants bring to the United States and that actually are accentuated in the United States, I had nothing to do with pre-immigration trauma. It related not having the papers, you know, los papeles, is having everyday stressor, having what they call las preocupaciones, the worry, family separation, kids that are not being supervised at home. Remember, immigrants and refugees are here just to survive, working many hours, strained relationships, and the frequent symptoms that you are going to find in the literature, nervous, nerves, and depression. Nervous is an umbrella term in which you encounter all of this. It's a way of saying these people are under stressful circumstances, there are no solution to many of their everyday issues, and they are translated into ansiedad and angustia, anguish and anxiety. I'm sure when we use ADM-4, a lot of these issues appear as anxiety-related syndromes, etc. So these healers, this is just the summary of our conceptual model. You have here the sociosoma. Within the sociosoma, we have the supernatural, the social field, and the physical. So illness, diseases or illness is the subjective internalization of disease, can have origins in these three. And very often, and you see here the treatments, bath and limpians. Bath are usually to clean the physical body, and limpias mean cleansing. Typically, the limpias are not just for oneself, are for others. So you see, all I'm not going to explain each of these categories, but I wanted to emphasize that it's a very, in the end, if we really understand this model, it's a quite logical model, believe it or not. All of this conduces to talking cure life coaching, using bath and cleansing herbs. And in many cases, particularly when these healers are dealing with people that may be a threat to themselves and others, they are so aware somebody wants to kill herself, they don't want to deal with it. They actually refer the patients to either social workers, psychiatrists. So they have a role as connectors, health working mechanism, brokering mechanism between the typically Latino undocumented people and the health system. So just to show you the spirit possession, sometimes they say you can be, they do the screening to find out what is the reason for your, let's say, anxiety. It can be all this, the problems that you have at home, but it also may be a spirit that is chasing you. That's why you want to kill yourself. These unrested spirits are making you nervous. But they also say depression typically is sociological. Clinical depression is actually biomedical. So this distinction between social depression and clinical depression is a way for them to inform, like, when it's social, I'm in charge of it. I can help you. I can actually, even when it's magical depression, I can remove the spirit. But when it's clinical, and that's when we need the science. So I send the person to a doctor. And to give you an idea, what we call toma, baño, and oración means drinking. This is how we calm our nerves. Baño means bath. And oración means praying and doing a spiritual healing. So the combination is very, very important. These are the prepackaged herbs and other products. And one thing I want to mention is, and I have to say, I just watched and one of the 60-minute programs, the effect of the over... I'm not against drugs, please, believe me, but I just watched the long-term effects of over-diagnosing and prescribing kids with attention deficit disorders, and I was shocked. You know, we have 1 million kids being diagnosed with illnesses that didn't exist when I was growing up, which is not so long ago. So, and they are saying, oh, this kid, and this is an example, and I will also talk, if I have 1 minute, about the counterproductive ways in which healers may damage as well, but I want to tell you a little example of a kid who is brought to the consultation, who has a very high spiritual development. In other words, this kid has been diagnosed with attention deficit disorder. And she's saying, I gave them lemon verbena, I gave them baths, praying, and lots of love. The kid didn't need to get so love. What is what they wanted to give them? To what kid anyone could give solo for? It is unheard of. As I told the mother to put the kid in a sport, so she put him to play ball. He began going to play ball 3 times a week. She put him in a reading program because this kid had reading issues. And the kid is now going to university. So a lot of what this woman was doing is common sense, practical thinking, you know, saying things that our grandmother will say. These kids need to, it's very active, there are other ways to deal with it. And this is just to show you, this is a treatment plan that I received when visiting a santera who was Babalao, a spiritual healer of a next generation of young healers. And it's very interesting for you to see the combination between social, spiritual, and biomedical. They start, one of them, because actually the santera have all the healers, one got into trance. So this was having like a team of doctors treating me. One person through a medium voice was telling me what the problem was. The other, he was speaking in tongues. I didn't understand what he was saying. It was being translated, and then the santera wrote the prescription. A study with complex B and folic acid, continuous with things that actually they were actually real at the time. And then I had to have bath in my place because I was the object of envy. We Argentina, we always feel that we're being envied by others. So they say you have to do bath without, I mean, to clean my physical environment to protect myself from others, not the dead one, the living one. So in terms of recommendations, I show a lot of stuff, but I don't have much more time. I want to tell you what we learn in terms of medical, biomedical, and health for healing. We need to incorporate the social soma vis-a-vis the psychosoma, understanding that the immigrant continue brings depression, anguish, and but not as a consequence of individual trauma, quite often of the social experiences people have, the importance of talking. The killers were very adamant against drug therapy, so, and they are treating people who are also against drug therapy. These findings agree with what we know in the literature, that Latinos are more fond of verbal healing forms. The healers somehow contribute to this stigmatized mental health illness. They are being considered as counselors and guides in the community, not like tratalocos, the curing the crazy. So in many ways they can become a bridge between the biomedical model and the psychologists and people. So we are proposing the development of collaborative efforts between actually the health, community services, and these sort of practitioners. This is already happening. Columbia University has a wonderful pediatric system model in which they incorporate healers into the practice. And the other thing I didn't have time to talk about is in the literature, what you'll find in the literature who writes about this is probably me, a few others, and then a lot about mercury use, lead poisoning. So it's a lot of negative information regarding for healing. I'm not saying it's wrong or right. Healers sometimes use toxic substances. They are very adamant that they don't want to reveal any of that. One way to actually helping healers and helping other practitioners to avoid the negative effects is actually building bridges and giving better information. We know the iatrogenic effects of biomedicine, so there is no perfect medical system. Thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to your questions.